GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. For the second time in recent weeks, there was a stowaway detected on board a Delta Airlines flight. TSA says this person was screened at a security checkpoint in Seattle without a ticket, but was allowed on the plane and was not discovered until the plane was taxiing for takeoff. ABC News aviation contributor John Nance says
these procedures have to be airtight, 100% perfect. And now, because people have gotten on not only by getting through TSA without the proper credentials, but also getting on the airplane, this has to be a major focus. Twice is too much.
A high-ranking government official tells ABC News that there's new evidence the Azerbaijan Airlines passenger plane that crashed in Kazakhstan Christmas Day, killing dozens, may have been shot down by a Russian surface-to-air missile. Health officials warning pet owners not to give their cats raw food. It's after a house cat in Oregon died of bird flu with an illness traced to frozen Northwest Naturals cat food. This is ABC News. President-elect Trump's incoming border czar, Tom Homan's giving new details for proposed mass deportations.
He says the administration does not plan on separating families, but instead wants to deport them together. As for U.S.-born children of undocumented immigrants,
they're going to be put in a halfway house, they can stay at home and wait for the officers to get the travel arrangements and come back and get the family.
Homan says immigration authorities will resume placing undocumented families with children in detention centers and that tents will be constructed to house them.
That's ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. New fallout after a drone show went horribly wrong in Orlando, Florida last weekend, critically injuring a 7-year-old boy who was hit by a falling drone. He needed heart surgery. A New Year's Eve drone show in New York City Central Park has now been canceled. And discouraging news for home buyers, mortgage rates hitting their highest level since July. They're averaging 6.85%. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm. From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live. Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy holidays, all. I am on vacation, but you're going to have Jimmy Costa behind the mic. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Dense fog advisory for low visibilities through tomorrow morning. Cloudy, foggy, drizzle, and lows in the mid-30s tonight. Rain developing for tomorrow and tomorrow night. Highs in the low 40s. Lingering raindrops in the morning. Otherwise cloudy Saturday. Highs mid-40s. It's 39 right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW System spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Friday's show, we'll visit with Civic Media's own Lisa Hale and Mark Hewson from Bell and Sports Medicine.
And live music with Lily Collins in our Heights Pub and Parlor music series. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
Good morning and happy Friday. In case you didn't know which day of the week it was, it can be hard to keep track during the holiday stretch. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. A rainy and foggy drive into the station here in Madison this morning, taking away what was left of a white Christmas. How does the weather look out your window? Send us a text at 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276, your direct line to us. Just tell us where you're texting from. Stu Muck will have more details on a dense fog advisory in about 15 minutes. Also this morning, we're catching up with our friends at Compeer Financial, and we'll also hear how policy in Washington, D.C. can help protect you from PFAS chemicals on your property. Right now, growers could be held liable through no fault of their own. We've got it all right here.
End of the year savings and hot deals at all Bobcat Plus Wisconsin locations. All new in-stock Bobcat equipment and attachments are marked down and ready to get to work for you. Skid steers, mini excavators, compact tractors, snow removal equipment, and more. As always, full service and parts whenever you need it. End of the year savings and hot bargain Bobcat deals happening now at all Bobcat Plus Wisconsin locations. Visit a showroom in your area or bobcatplus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump. Patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Stray voltage on the farm could be disrupting your animal's routine and your bottom line through no fault of your own. Brianna Handel has firsthand experience at her farm, B. Kurt Dairy, in Barneveld. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Brianna told me people don't usually feel the shock from stray voltage, but animals are susceptible. She realized there was a problem as soon as her cows started acting out of the ordinary this time last year.
The night of December 14th, when we went to do chores, the cows were acting very skittish. We have 5 kids that live that great life of riding their bikes up and down the barn alleys. You know, our cows are used to chaos. But that night, our cows were acting very crazy. They were backing in and out of stalls. Every time we turned around, they'd be kicking a unit off. We usually take about an hour and 10 minutes to milk, and it took us 2.5 hours that night. And I actually just asked the kids to go sit in the milk house because I was just worried that somebody was going to get hurt. This wasn't how our cows acted. Something was going on. And then through the weekend, it was rainy and wet, and rain is a conductor of electricity. So it continued through the weekend. The cows were acting very skittish and antsy. So I had called the utility on Monday, the 18th, December 18th, and asked them to come do ground currency tests before they hooked up the substation that was a half mile from our farm. And he said he could come do ground currency tests, but they had already hooked the substation up on Thursday, December 14th, the same night we had problems. like all the dots connect to where the source of the problem came from.
Help us understand, you know, what stray voltage is and why, because of that connection, you started seeing problems.
Cattle and other animals are way more sensitive to just the voltages in the earth. So the stray voltage is due to a bad primary on their side, and it is grounding on our farm. Cows are way more sensitive than humans. So like we weren't feeling it, but obviously the cows were. The utilities, they like to say a cow can't feel it till it's at a volt. And when they had came out and did the testing, the heifer shed was at a 0.81 volts and the barn was at a 0.39 volts. So not that volt that they say that a cow can feel. It was less, but we were seeing lots of damage being done.
Is it like grabbing an electric fence?
Some farms had it that high. We did not. Some farms that I talked to, they were telling me they had 7-8 volts coming through their farms. And this is what we could feel.
What were the next steps that you had to take after you realized there was a voltage problem?
So after the utility came out and they did their testing, they said we were under the threshold that the utility uses. They said your cows shouldn't be affected. But now there's this new rule out there that like a farmer asked to be isolated on demand, they are supposed to be isolated on demand. So we had gone through all the testing and we could still see like negative effects on our cows. We dropped in milk. And our cell count was peaking, like getting very high. We were noticing a lot of damage done to the cows. They were having weird ulcers. And we had asked to be isolated on demand. And the utility had given us a list of items that we needed to fix on the farm before the farm was technically considered safe in their eyes for us to be isolated. One of the things on the list was to change the farm to a four-wire system. This job wasn't hard. It was just nobody wanted to be involved. I called 6 different electricians and I had asked them to rewire our farm to a 4-wire system. And they said, stray voltage, no way, not getting involved, because the utilities have a way of placing liability on the person that did the work and saying that it's their fault now that we have stray voltage.
As you're trying to complete this checklist, what is your timeline looking like now?
We asked to be isolated on demand on December 28th. The farm was technically not safe. We finally got a gentleman to come and do the work. He just was not going to sign the paperwork, so we had to hire a private engineer to come out, and he would sign the paperwork. And the rewire was completed February 16th, and the paperwork was done on February 21st, saying that we were ready for isolation. Another thing that needed to be done was they had a pole in our yard that was too close to our pole that had the transformer on it. So the voltage was basically doing a racetrack. It was going down their pole, up our pole, you know, causing a racetrack type thing. So they needed to move that 30 feet away from our pole.
Over that 2 months, just for this one item on the list, in the meantime, your milk production is off. Your cows are sick. Mm-hmm. I mean, give me a sense of the losses that you experienced in just that short time alone.
It took us a little over 3 months to get isolated from the first day they came out. And we have lost over $95,000 between milk production, somatic cell count increase. We shipped 10% of our herd in April because these cows were stressed before their dry period, during their dry period, and after their dry period. So they came in to milk only milking 20 pounds, where they should have been milking 70 to 80, you know, and they were not going to produce for the rest of their lactation. Because I did keep a couple because I'm like, please. And no, they're still only milking 20 pounds a day.
We're talking about the stress on the cows. We haven't even talked about the stress on your family. As a mom, even, and you know the stray voltage is impacting the cattle, how does that make you feel about your own children, you and your husband? I mean, and then just that overall business stress that you guys were facing.
We all know being a first-generation farmer, or just a farmer in general, it's hard, you know, the financial stress. So that's already a stress there, but then you add something like this on, and it's just 10 times worse, amplified. my kids had been affected by this because I was doing all this research. I was spending all this time trying to save our family business. And I remember one night my daughter asking, can you please just get off the phone? Can you please just read me a book? And it's like, it like broke my heart, you know, because I'm trying to save our business. And yeah, that was like awful when she said that, because you don't realize how much you're like invested in something else. And then, yeah. So, but some of the other things that we realized was my husband was getting extremely bad migraines. I'm sorry. So we ended up actually taking him in to go get a CAT scan done. And when they did the CAT scan, they didn't find anything abnormal, which is great, right? But it was inflammation of the spine, which also correspond. So the inflammation was causing these tension headaches, which also corresponds with the cows, because our cell count is like through the roof, but no mastitis, no abnormal milk, nothing like that. They as well have inflammation in their body that's causing the high cell count.
So let's go back to this timeline here, February, to check things off the list. You know, so where are we at now in the spring with finding a solution or fixing the problem?
So we finally got isolated on March 13th, and the next day we went up 10 pounds in milk. It was like night and day difference. We remembered how to farm because basically they told us this whole time that it was our fault. We were the problem. There was no way that the voltage would be affecting our cows. They continuously told me, like, until cows can talk, we have to believe in the science. And I'm like, the cows are telling us, you know, that they don't talk. But if you're watching them, you can see that they are being affected by this. They're dropping in milk. They're losing calves. They're not breeding back. You know, we're having all these things happening. But finally, we got isolated in March. And I wouldn't say the problem is 100% fixed. There's still lingering stray voltage during their peak usage hours. I can turn the farm off completely and we will still have 0.2 volts coming into the farm. So it's coming in through the earth's current.
Today, you're at as close of a solution as you can get, or are you still fighting this?
Any amount of stray voltage is a problem. It is going to cause lingering effects to the herd. I mean, I'm going to be hopeful it's not going to ruin us where we're at, but any stray voltage, we will still probably have lingering effects. Like I said about the breeding, we are breeding cows 5 times and before they're sticking and settling and getting pregnant. That's not a normal practice.
A year after detecting stray voltage on the farm, Brianna Handel and her family are working to get a USDA-funded study to update the research on stray voltage and how it affects cows. She also hopes for funding for farms that have to deal with the effects of stray voltage through no fault of their own. Brianna Handel of B. Kurt Dairy in Barneveld. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments, and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I celebrate music and comedy by welcoming punk band Radio for Pets, Doctors in Recital, and then comedian Jimmy Pardo. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
This morning, is that right?
You are absolutely right, Stephanie. A good part of Wisconsin, Minnesota as well, up into the UP. The dense fog advisory has lifted in southeast Wisconsin. Racine, Kenosha, Janesville, Madison, Milwaukee. That dense fog advisory has lifted this morning. The fog has thinned out somewhat, but everybody else, Lafayette and Iowa and Grant County and up toward the Dells, Sauk County, Dodge County, and everywhere north under the dense fog advisory, at least until noon today. So a very, very foggy start. And mixed with that, some light rain. The radar does indicate this morning very scattered light rain in southwest and western Wisconsin, up around La Crosse and just to the west of Mauston, streaming up along the Mississippi up toward the Twin Cities. There's going to be some rain. Low pressure off to our south today, down around Arkansas, pushing up into Missouri, expected to be around far southwest Wisconsin late today, and then pushing out of the north central part of the state into the day tomorrow. It will bring rain along with patchy fog, and rain will be developing, in fact, this morning in far southwest and later on toward midday and after, the further you head to the north and east. So rain around through the night on into the nighttime Friday and into Saturday. Rain amounts in eastern Wisconsin, maybe up to a quarter inch. In western Wisconsin, Mauston, La Crosse, up to Oshkosh, that area in the heart of western Wisconsin, there may be some half or even three-quarter inch amounts of rain overnight and just into the day Saturday. Things do quiet down. The temperatures are very, very mild and aren't going to cool off too quickly through the weekend. Still above normal. That means daytime highs, upper 30s and low 40s, staying mild into next week. There may be a little snow further in the northwest part of the state late tonight, but not going to accumulate too much, just a wet precipitation on the way. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Well, between the fog and the drizzle, it sounds like an overall pretty wet week, but I'm not going to complain about the temperature, Stu. It's pretty balmy out there, at least until we get to the new year.
Yeah, it's very mild this morning, upper 30s, 40 at Madison this morning, but our Compere Financial Ag Weather Update does include that dense fog advisory till noon. That doesn't mean the fog goes away. Going to be pretty stubborn around here today, and I expect some rain developing already in the west. We'll cross further east during the day. Temps will be in the low to mid 40s. with east and southeast winds about 5 to 10. More likely with clouds, patchy fog, rain overnight, like I've said, up to a quarter, maybe a half inch in the east, could be near three quarters in western Wisconsin. And those temperatures tonight dropping into the upper 30s, near 40. Winds becoming southwest, 5 to 10. Some fog and clouds and rain tomorrow, clearing out a bit in the south. Upper 30s, low 40s, and even mostly cloudy on Sunday. But Stephanie and I expect temps again in the upper 30s to low 40s. Your mild weather will stick with us right into next week.
Mild weather, nothing to complain about. Stu Muck along with us, our ag meteorologist, 4-hour Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. If you want to learn more, visit compeer.com. We'll hear more from our friends at Compeer Financial later in the hour.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM. Mino and the Mayor.
You ever really want to get back at me?
Well, you're claustrophobic. That would really...
Oh, God.
Oh, that would be tough for you.
Oh, the worst.
Wow. You would talk like that.
Get this. Absolutely.
Put him in a drum and throw him in the water. He's claustrophobic and he can't swim.
Yeah.
I think we could get anything we wanted out of you.
Anything.
All right, Todd, mental note.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. For the second time in recent weeks, there was a stowaway detected on board a Delta Airlines flight. TSA says this person was screened at a security checkpoint in Seattle without a ticket, but was allowed on the plane and was not discovered until the plane was taxiing for takeoff. ABC News aviation contributor John Nance says
these procedures have to be airtight, 100% perfect. And now, because people have gotten on not only by getting through TSA without the proper credentials, but also getting on the airplane, this has to be a major focus. Twice is too much.
A high-ranking government official tells ABC News that there's new evidence the Azerbaijan Airlines passenger plane that crashed in Kazakhstan Christmas Day, killing dozens, may have been shot down by a Russian surface-to-air missile. Health officials warning pet owners not to give their cats raw food. It's after a house cat in Oregon died of bird flu with an illness traced to frozen Northwest Naturals cat food. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Golden Globe Awards are just around the corner. The award show does not anticipate as much controversy as last year when host Joe Coy offended some of the attendees and writers. This year, comedian Nikki Glaser has been selected to host and will fly solo, making her the first woman to host the show alone. If you like watching celebrities squirm, you might want to check out the broadcast because Glaser told People magazine she received advice from Ricky Gervais and intends to be edgy with the A-listers. The Golden Globe Awards will be broadcast January 5th. A fun tradition on Saturday Night Live has been the Christmas Joke Swap on Weekend Update for co-hosts Michael Che and Colin Jost, where they write jokes the other has to perform. Kind of cute, especially when one of them is married to Scarlett Johansson, Jost. Jost ripped on his own wife thanks to the jokes written by his co-host while she watched in the wings from backstage and cracked up. Very funny and worth a Google. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks lose to Brooklyn. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks looked like they were on their way to another home victory until the Nets took command late in the fourth quarter to win 111-105. A disappointed Bobby Portis, who scored 18, sat at his locker after the loss.
Yeah, we could have won that game tonight. We were up. We had momentum. They jumped on us in the fourth quarter, got momentum, and then we didn't recover. It sucks, but we'll be back Saturday. We're going to get a win.
The Bucks travel to Chicago to play the Bulls tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers getting ready for their rematch against the Minnesota Vikings Sunday at U.S. Bank Stadium. Green Bay lost at home to the Vikings week 4, 31-29. The Vikings led 28-7 at the half.
Yeah, I think overall, I think it wasn't our best game. Obviously, I think just too many turnovers, and I think we just got in the hole early.
We just got off to a slow start, put ourselves in the hole, and you know, I like the way we finished. We did some good things in the second half, but just not good enough in the first half.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt. Join me this Sunday from 1 to 2 here on WGBW as we talk about homelessness during the holidays in Green Bay.
Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, Sunday afternoons at 1 on 97.9 WGBW and the Civic Media app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Dense fog advisory for low visibilities through tomorrow morning. Cloudy, foggy, drizzle, and lows in the mid-30s tonight. Rain developing for tomorrow and tomorrow night. Highs in the low 40s. Lingering raindrops in the morning. Otherwise cloudy Saturday. Highs mid-40s.
It's 39 right now.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you. And highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no healthcare policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody. through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
And what was up with that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what was up with that.
Welcome back on a Friday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff with the Midwest Farm Report. Have you heard of PFAS chemicals? These are substances that are found in nonstick cookware and firefighting foam, among other things. But agriculture is feeling the effect of these forever chemicals. The American Farm Bureau Federation says PFAS are polluting the soil and water. Director of Government Affairs Courtney Briggs says, unfortunately, a farm could be liable for that contamination through no fault of their own.
PFAS forever chemicals, they do not break down naturally in the environment. We are finding that they are ubiquitous. They are used in everyday products and have been used for several decades. So it is everywhere. It is traveling through naturally through the environment, through our water supply. I think a lot of people scratch their heads saying, well, what does this have to do with agriculture? We don't use PFAS chemicals. It's true, we don't. But because it's traveling through the water, and we know that PFAS likes to stick to organic matter, so a PFAS chemical, man, do they love soil. So we're seeing contaminated farm fields. We're seeing water supply that is given to livestock operations contaminated with PFAS. This is affecting agriculture. The problem that we have is that the Biden administration has finalized a rule that would open farmers up to being liable for PFAS contamination through no fault of their own. So our job in this new administration is to work with EPA, to work with Congress, to provide a liability shield to properly protect farmers from any liability.
How many fields do you think are contaminated either in the U.S. or the Midwest or Wisconsin?
I would say that if you are located near, you know, a DOD installation because of the use of AFFF, the firefighting foam, we've seen leaching off of DOD facilities into nearby dairies, near manufacturing facilities, near chemical companies. I mean, those are the areas that I think the EPA is most focused on right now, and that's where we're seeing contamination.
Courtney Briggs is the Director of Government Affairs with the American Farm Bureau Federation. We've got more agribusiness news coming your way.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
You see the headlines all the time, consumers confused by food labels. Well, not if they shop at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here, asking you to take a closer look at the food labels at Bavaria Sausage. You know, they are working towards making sure when you take a look at whatever product they've got in the store, you know exactly what it is. They're using different colors. They're also making sure that there's a picture on that label to help you better understand the protein source that you're looking at. It's all about making sure they're combining the old world flavor flavors, the artisan blends, and making sure that you understand when there's something new in the showcase, what is it and where did it come from? Simple information, easily understood. And of course, there's always someone there to answer your questions if you've got them. Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, located also online, BavariaSausage.com. Old recipes, new labels. Take a look.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
This week in Wisconsin agriculture, a commercial poultry flock in Burnett County has identified a case of highly pathogenic avian influenza, or H5N1. This is the third poultry case this month. The other cases were in Barron and Kenosha counties. The birds will not enter the food chain, and the State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection says no dairy cattle have been affected in Wisconsin. From Chicago, commodity markets have been fairly quiet after the holiday break. The January Class 3 milk contract is up a penny at 1963 a hundredweight, and the February contract is up 2 cents at 1990. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese, which has been unchanged since Tuesday. Barrel cheese closing yesterday at $1.74, and the 40-pound block cheese closing at $1.86. Wisconsin has a new representative on the American Soybean Association's Executive Committee. Tanner Johnson is a first-generation soybean grower from Barron County. He was just elected to serve on that 9-member board. Passing a farm bill will be one of their top priorities in the new year. And looking at the grain trade from Chicago, 2025 new crop corn is sitting neutral at 4.41¾. 2025 new crop soybeans are down a penny and three quarters at 10.07¾. And July new crop wheat is down a penny and a half, trading at $5.58 a bushel. The Fabulous Farm Babe talks with our friends from Compeer Financial next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A 2023 decision in an Arkansas redistricting case found individual voters did not have a private right of action to challenge the maps. The state of Louisiana tried the same tactic in its chaotic gerrymandering case, but was refused on June 24th. Be looking for another challenge in 2025. Defying precedent, the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals held in a 2023 Arkansas racial gerrymandering case that individual voters do not have a private right of action under the VRA Section 2. It said only the U.S. Justice Department could bring such cases, despite individuals having filed 90% of previous challenges. Calling it radical, scholars expected it to be quickly overturned, but this January, the full 8th Circuit refused to rehear the case. Seeing an opening, Louisiana asked the full 5th Circuit to rehear its gerrymandering case on the same grounds, with 13 other Republican attorneys general urging a no private right of action decision. In a close vote Monday, the 5th Circuit refused that rehearing. For now, the 8th Circuit decision still only affects Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. But it's clear that private right of action is the new battleground and will almost certainly reach the U.S. Supreme Court. We've linked to more on the private right of action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
The next new Wisco Weekend is a look back at the best of 2024. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Join us as we revisit some of our favorite stories, features, and music from the past year.
Saturday morning at 8, Sunday at 11 on WGBW and WISS. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Must pay attention to as far as detail. Cole Patrick is joining us now, Director of Insurance Strategies for Compure Financial. And man, I'm telling you, Cole, when it comes to 2025, risk management is all I can think about. I don't care if you're milking cows. I don't care if you're feeding calves. I don't care if you're running corn and beans. Risk management all the way around. Today, for our purposes of our conversation, we want to take a closer look specifically at crop insurance. Tell me a little bit about how you're helping people construct their risk management plans for next year.
So some of the things that the Compure is helping out with our clients, our prospects, is really focusing on sound risk management plans. And where that begins is knowing where your break-evens are and then having a really solid marketing plan. Knowing how those things go and understanding all the moving parts really sets the stage for you as the producer to really understand your operation, which is probably very different from the neighbor across the street or in the next county, et cetera, et cetera. It's really individualized.
I'm a little concerned, Cole, that farmers may be under the impression that they can't make a move until they know one way or the other what's happening with the farm bill. The crop insurance side of things, they do have more control. You have more certainty with either ARC, PLC, that's been around for a long time, but then the newer tools like SCO or ECO, those may be the ones that we want to lean on a little bit more in 2025.
Yes, absolutely. The program, the funding for the program with, you know, the government and everything, they had a continuing resolution through December 20th, I believe, which we're going to likely see an extension of that. It's almost everything but a certainty. But crop insurance, that's going to run through the 31st. They're going to extend that as well. So crop insurance is safe. Now, what happens, you know, after the new year, probably the inauguration, what happens with that farm bill is yet to be seen. A lot of debate between the House and the Senate on what's going to be included in that, which all comes down to funding. Where are they going to get the money from different pay-for sources to fund some of the things that they're looking at, which could affect things like the SCO coverage level, SCO subsidies, you know, demanding some research to, you know, kind of make the program more dynamic, you know, things like that. There's some disaster funding on the table too, but it all comes down to funding. And it's such a bipartisan bill that it's going to be safe. It's going to be there. So what you have today is going to extend into next year. So what happens next year? Is it going to be retroactive after they make the decisions? No, that's hard to say. That could be a possibility because there's a lot of focus right now and a lot of awareness around the decreased revenue, the decreased farm income, things like that. But one of the huge opportunities out there that we just got in the summer of 24 was outside of the farm bill through the FCIC board was approved an increased subsidy for ECO. That's enhanced coverage option for the listeners. That is a shallow loss coverage, which takes you up to 95%. Now it's on a county basis though, but 95%, you can't really get that anywhere else except for margin protection, which is a whole nother complexity in its own. But with this increased subsidy, It's going from 44% to 65%. Mm-hmm. So that's a 30% decrease in cost to the farmers. So what used to cost $30 is not going to cost $20. Mm-hmm. What used to cost $20 is not going to cost, mm-hmm, you know, $13, $14. Mm-hmm. So that's an enormous cost savings, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is, for some producers out there, especially, you know, maybe the farmers getting into transition planning or, you know, it really affects everybody, but some people more than others, where you're really trying to lock in and protect yourself to stay in the game, mm-hmm, this ECO product is really, really the catch. Well, and it couldn't have come at a better time.
I was just going to say, for anybody that wants to stay in the game, regardless of age or demographic on the scale, this is an opportunity, as you said, Cole, that you can't look past. Now, we do have some time on this. ECO have the same crop insurance deadline mid-March again, or is this a product that we've got to educate ourselves on, factor in our operation earlier? Give me the time frame there.
So with ECO, SCO, you definitely you have the same sign up dates. So March 15th, we're still looking at that. Still runs off of the December 25 futures for corn, November futures for soybeans. But really where the complexity of the decision-making comes down to is what am I going to do with my Title I programs? And namely, that's ARC and PLC. ARC is sort of a mirror image of SCO, which is kind of like ECO, but it goes up to 86% instead of 95. And you cannot have both in the current administration. So that's where people are really going to have to debate on, do I want SCO or do I want ARC, right? And the way prices are leaning right now, looking into the 25 scenario, I'm leaning more towards ARC. So people that take ARC, so they're not going to be allowed to take SCO. But those opportunity dollars with that increased subsidy, a solid risk management decision would be to put those opportunity dollars into ECO, protect that shallow loss, protect your top side, and that gap in the middle, that can be covered by that ARC county, especially when where prices are right now, which are really comparable. As I look today at the December futures for corn, I'm seeing a full 43. We just got a nice 10, 12 cent lift in that. The ARC county price for corn in 25 is 503. Now, wow. It's not a true 503 because right. It only gets 86% of that. Really, you're looking at 433. So, which is higher than your PLC price, and that's for both corn and beans.
Yeah.
So we tend to lean towards where can we lock in a higher price, even if there's more variability with the ARC because it factors in yield versus just a pure price floor. I think that's the play.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you know what your numbers are, if you know what your cost of production is, those are giving you some hard, firm answers and options right away. Again, if you're just joining us, Cole Patrick is along with us. He is the Director of Insurance Strategies with Compure Financial. Now, if you could give farmers a couple key takeaways on crop insurance for them to noodle over the holidays and into the cold months of January, what would they be, Cole? You've really hit on some nice ones, but what else should they be thinking through and then connecting with their Compure crop advisor about?
So view your farm as not from a year-to-year farm. You're not a farmer. You're a business. You're a business owner, and you have a farm to manage, right? So you're managing a business on the farm, and with that, you gotta place some risk management strategies in there. So take advantage of the subsidized program because what's happening in the program today from the delivery perspective, the approved insurance providers and the administration as a whole is leaning more towards these subsidized products because it's much more effective delivery method and it's more cost effective for not only the clients but the companies delivering these products. We see the reinsurance market tightening up, and what that means for the listeners out there is the AIPs, the approved insurance providers out there, that's your carriers, that's your Great Americans, that's your Rain and Hails, that's your RCIS, those types of people. So they seek what's called reinsurance to back up and kind of share some of the cost of potential losses, right? And what these reinsurance companies are doing, they're looking at the market and go, okay, I can put some capital and make 5%, 4 or 5% in some safe treasuries, some money markets. That's easy. But now I have this more riskier pool now. How much capital do I want to deploy in this reinsurance market? And what they're saying is, hey, we're going to give you less reinsurance for some of these risky products on your private side because it kind of all mixes in. So we're seeing a shift from these private products, which are heavily, some are loss leaders, but they sustain a lot of losses, which kind of correlates to some of the frequency and severity of weather that we've been experiencing. So, and I bring that up because of an announcement that we just got on Friday that RMA is going to increase the replant provisions for the federal side. Now, this has been talked about for, a couple of years behind the scenes, and now it's actually going to happen for 2026. So those replant payments for your federal side are going to go up. Now, what does that tell me? That tells me that the program realizes that those prices are outdated. That tells me that there's probably some pressure from the AIPs and even the reinsurance market that the private side you know, of these endorsements for things like wind and replant, they're just not sustainable and profitable. So let's shift some of those things into the subsidized lane if we can to make the program more sustainable, because it's all about sustainability and how can we keep people in the game from a sound risk management perspective. So lean into the subsidized program as much as you can, because that's what it's there for. And the program, you know, RMA, USDA, legislation, they're all keenly aware that, you know, farmers are coming into an economic downturn that who knows how long this storm may last. So really lean into these products because they're here and the program is really trying to build around to support the farmers, which are the backbone of America.
Absolutely. I agree. Like we said, folks, lots of things to consider, all kinds of risk management, no matter what you're doing in Wisconsin agriculture. Cole Patrick, along with us, Director of Insurance Strategies, do make sure that as you're putting your plan together, you are talking to your Compure advisors, whether it's about crop insurance or whether it's about risk management for the dairy. It is going to be critical to make that a part of your plan for 2025. Find it all. Resources, as well as the office locations near you at compure.com. Along with Cole Patrick, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor. Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversations in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.fm today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversations. Sign up today at WGBW.fm/newsletter.
How livestock producers can help cut agriculture's overall greenhouse gas issue. Today on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back to back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
While sustainable crop production is seen as a way to cut agriculture's greenhouse gas output, a new study suggests livestock producers can also play a role. Kansas State University agronomy professor Chuck Rice was among the 26 researchers who did the study.
There's work being done to look at improving feed quality, reduce the methane that's produced in the cattle. Down the road, maybe breeding for livestock that have lower emissions. And then manure management. If it's a lagoon system, then there's a lot of methane released. And there's technologies already available to capture that methane and either use it as a fuel or convert it to CO2.
In addition to curtailing livestock emissions, Rice says offsetting emissions can also play a role.
With wind turbines on the farm, we can raise livestock underneath those turbines and producing energy for that farm and then exporting it. Solar is another area. There's a lot of structures on a farm, and if we put solar panels onto those roofs, we can essentially eliminate the need for importing electricity into the farm and probably actually export it.
There's a link to the study results on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, the Law Review, will join me to discuss if the president-elect should be disqualified under the 14th Amendment's Insurrection Clause. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Freezing your credit sounds drastic, but it's not. In fact, freezing your credit is one of the best ways you can protect yourself from identity theft. Freezing your credit doesn't stop your credit score from going up or down. It's just a way to make sure that nobody can open an account in your name, not even you, without removing your freeze first. So to freeze your credit, you just contact each of the three major credit bureaus and you request a credit freeze. Just search up the term credit freeze and you'll find the phone numbers and websites where you can get it all done. And don't worry, you can always unfreeze your credit when you need to apply for new credit, like a loan or something, by contacting each bureau again. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org or text money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Israel's airline El Al has suspended flights from Tel Aviv to Moscow because of disruptions in Russian airspace. This comes as a U.S. official tells ABC there are early indications the Azerbaijan Airlines plane that crashed Christmas Day in Kazakhstan was likely hit by a Russian anti-aircraft system. ABC News contributor and former Defense Department official Mick Mulroy says if that was Russia, he does not expect forthcoming details.
Whoever fired that missile at this aircraft, whatever military unit is, already knows they did this. So if this does prove to be them, then not only did they do it, which shows a pretty profound act of negligence, but it shows a willingness to try to cover it up.
For the second time in about a month, a stowaway made it on board a Delta Airlines plane. This person discovered on the plane before it took off from Seattle, and a New York judge ruled that for now, the woman suing Jay-Z and Sean Combs alleging sexual assault can remain anonymous. They deny the claims. This is ABC News. The new election.